Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a terrific day. We're going all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. The Get Right is in the house. Reggie Atatula, KG. They'll have your broadcast coming up 7 to 11 tonight here on 105.3 The Fan. But the Cowboys had a joint practice with the Broncos this afternoon. It was available to watch on DallasCowboys.com. And along with that video feed was the commentary of one Isaiah Stanback, who was breaking that down for you, and he's going to join you here in just a second on your home of the Cowboys. Yes, right now, a former Cowboys wide receiver out of the University of Washington. He is a Super Bowl champion, and he now creates content for you at DallasCowboys.com. Isaiah Stanback here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, thank you.
Good. Isaiah, hey, great job, by the way, on the broadcast. Really enjoyed your commentary about it, the way you're breaking out. It was fun to listen to you try and watch two fields at once today.
I appreciate it, man. It was hard enough trying to stand up there and not pass out. It was hot out there.
I'll tell you. Okay, well, you talk about, you know, afterwards, you were with Nick Eatman and Kyle Yeomans. You guys were kind of talking about things, and you guys were saying that you were the physicality of the practice, or the physicality of the team. Was that your biggest concern today, or was there something else that I missed from watching that?
Yeah, I mean, guys just didn't seem to have stepped up to the challenge today. I mean, you have to think about all the different things that they had going against them. You're obviously traveling to somebody else's home, so you're in Denver. You're playing against an opponent that you haven't played against, right, in camp, for your whole duration of camp. You've been going against each other. It's hot outside. You're in elevation. And then you have Randy Gregory, one of your ex-teammates, who's now distraught, seemingly, and he's over there talking a bunch of mess on the sidelines. So there's going to be an energy level that you're going to have to meet, and I just don't think holistically that the team, at least on the offensive side, didn't meet that. There were individuals who did, but collectively, it didn't seem like they met that challenge today.
Were you encouraged by anything? Were there good things that were happening, Isaiah, that you'll take from the practice and be optimistic about for the upcoming season?
Absolutely. There were some guys that stepped up today. Noah Brown was a sure thing out there. And he's somebody that I know is in a lot of different conversations regarding the receiver position. And he's somebody that Dak trusts. He's somebody who's lost weight. He's come in. He's done what they've asked him to do up to date. And he's continuing to be that consistent guy, a resource for them. He showed up today. And then you have guys like Tolbert, who showed up today. He did a really good job. Simi Fehoko did an okay job getting open and taking advantage of some opportunities. TJ Vasher, he did a good job as well. Offensive line-wise, I think Tyler Smith was pretty patient, knowing what his natural instinct is to be aggressive. I felt like the reps that he did receive today, he did pretty well with those. Aside from that, there weren't a whole lot of big-time highlights or high points offensively. Denver dominated it for the most part.
I'd say it was okay. You ran through all those wide receivers, and that's your background. That's really your area of expertise with those wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Are they going into camp? Was that your biggest concern? And how do you feel about them now?
So, answer the first part. No, my biggest concern going into this season, it has been and continues to be the offensive line.
Okay.
And their ability to protect Dak and also create some running lanes to be able to get this running game going back the way that the Dallas Cowboys need them to. In regards to the receiver position, I still believe that it's going to be a little bit of a struggle early on in the season, not having Gallup, not having Washington. Those are two of your top three guys that you're going to be without. And I don't care what offense in this league, if you're missing your two of your top three receivers, you're going to be in a bad way. Now, there's going to be opportunities, obviously, that are present to some of these other, these younger guys, because of those vacancies. But I still think that I'm waiting to see CD step up into what we can say everybody considers to be that number one role. He did go out there. He made some catches and some plays today. But the things that I'm looking for from CD that's going to affect this entire receiver room is going to be his leadership qualities.
It's Isaiah Stanback, DallasCowboys.com, former Cowboys wide receiver here with you on 105.3 The Fan. We're covering a lot of ground. This is great stuff, Isaiah. Noah Brown, how much better than last year to you? And when do you know a guy is ready to grow from being a good practice player to a guy that can perform consistently in games?
I believe that Noah Brown's always been that guy. I just think that the demands that they placed on him weren't necessarily offensively. I think that the role that he was asked to play offensively in recent years was always, hey, we need you to come in and crack back on the safety. We need you to come in a bunch set and wall off a linebacker, right? He was always that physical specimen in the physical kind of enforcer in the receiver room. And that's all he was really asked to do. Every so often, be a possession guy. But for the most part, come block on and then go do your thing on special teams by being a core special teamer. This offseason, seemingly, they asked him to drop a little bit of weight, and I believe that's because they want him to become more prevalent as a receiver. And he has been that all through camp from what I've seen. He's been quick in and out of his breaks. He's been Johnny on the spot. He has sure hands. He's making those tight contested catches. He is seemingly looking to be a great number three for this team right now. And to start the year off, he might be a number two.
Isaiah, I was out there. We were all out there with you at camp and stuff. So you were actually watching the practices as well, not just this scrimmage, but practices right leading up to this. Talk about what you've seen defensively. It looked like to me that the Cowboys defensively, they had a lot of practices where they put their offense in a lot of tough spots.
Yeah.
But was it the secondary, the rush? Where do you think this Cowboys defense is at their strongest point?
That front seven, especially when you think about the addition of Anthony Barr. But right now, specifically, that defensive front. That's a very congested, highly competitive room right now. I think that's the way Dan Quinn intended it to be. Those guys are all vying for not only a spot on this roster, but playing time. I mean, you got the big boys in the middle. You know, you got Neville Gallimore. You got Watkins in there. You got Golston, Odigizua. You got Basham, Armstrong on the outside, Fowler, D-Law. They're all vying for playing time regardless of how established and how much money they're getting paid. All these guys are going to be rotational players. And I think the biggest challenge for them is going to be, it's going to be ego. more so than anything, because time is going to get divided. And you're not going to see 60-plus play guys anymore in this defense. You're going to see guys playing 30, 35 quality snaps and everybody making their contributions to make this a very effective defense.
Isaiah Stanback here with you on 105 through the Fan, DallasCowboys.com. You mentioned the running game earlier, Isaiah. Do you have hope that this can be a good running team? Is there hope for the running game?
There's hope. There's hope. In terms of my confidence level at this point in time in camp, it's not very high. And that's seemingly just because we understand that Tyler Biotis is still trying to figure things out at the center position. He's a guy that you can depend on. He's a guy that you know what you're going to get out of him. He's not a guy that you would put in the dominant category of things that they've had in the past, right? He's not Frederick. So then you look at what's next to him. Okay, you have an all-pro future Hall of Famer, Zach Martin, next to him. Okay, that's awesome. But on the other side of him, now that's when the question marks really begin. So if you have some question marks in regards to Biotis and his ability to handle some of these defensive linemen that he's going to face. And you start off by week one, Vita Vea. You know you can't handle him one-on-one. So all of a sudden, if I'm Vita Vea, am I going to line up in the gap between Tyler Biotis and Zach Martin, or am I going to line up in the gap between Tyler Biotis and Connor McGovern or Tyler Smith? And that's when you start looking and saying, okay, how far along are those guards coming? And if there's not a person who's necessarily taking the bull by the horns at that position, now there's a question mark there. So I have a semi-question mark at center, and I have a big question mark at guard. That's a gaping hole in this offensive front, and that's something that we saw last year.
Do you think Dak can still make plays with his legs like when he came into the league?
I think he can, and I think that he's becoming more confident with that. We've seen him do more of that in this camp than we've seen him do in the past. Obviously, he's been battling injuries over the past few seasons, and that's something that I'm looking forward to him doing. However, I don't want to see him become dependent on that. So it's one thing to have that as a attribute is one thing to have that as a kind of a change up and something that you have in your tool belt. But when you become dependent on it, that's when you start putting yourself in position to get hurt.
You know, I wonder about you. I was covering the Pac-12 when you were at Washington, so I watched you a lot, actually. As a former college quarterback that came out like 15 years ago, would you have insisted more on trying to stay at quarterback if you came out more in today's game?
I think I wouldn't have had to have the conversation. I think it would have been a lot more accepted had I came out in today's game. I mean, the things that the attributes and skill sets that I possessed at that point in time, it was kind of one-offs, right? There's a handful of guys that possessed those abilities, and it still wasn't a concluded thing around the league that say, hey, this is accepted. This is something that we can utilize. It's something that everybody would like to have on their team. You know, now you have the Kyler Murrays, the Lamar Jacksons, and the Dax, and everybody else that's out here now. There's a lot of really athletic quarterbacks. When back then, I mean, you just had a handful of guys. You had the McNabs, you had the McNairs, you had the Vicks. You know, you only had guys every so often that was, okay, this is acceptable for this offense. This is acceptable for this coordinator. But now this is seemingly almost every team has a guy that can run, whether he's considered a pocket quarterback or not. Most of these guys can use their legs.
Isaiah, when you look at Kellen Moore and what the things that are facing him this season as a play caller, do you feel like, though, that they can turn things around? Or is this one of those things like, have you seen enough at practice where it's different from where we were at this time last year?
That's a good question. I have a lot of faith in Kellen Moore. I do. I believe that he possesses the qualities necessary to become a really good offensive coordinator in this league. Obviously, I mean, he led the league with offense last year. I mean, he does a really good job with what he does. My concern with Kellen Moore, as he continues to mature at that offensive coordinator position, is holding back. I think, you know, he showed his youth in that regard, or is it lack of experience as an offensive coordinator last year? And I brought it up on some of the shows with the Cowboys. I'm like, hey, he's in his bag too much, too early. You know, knowing that, you know, you can release some of these things that you've been working on all season, some of these ideas that you have in your green book, like the water boy, right? Like,
sure.
Some of these things you have to let them out a little bit at a time. Let them leak out. Don't just dump the bag out, and then all of a sudden, these defensive coordinators, that's all they do is watch film. You know, these GAs, that's all they do is watch film. And eventually, your tendencies are going to start showing up. And you'd much rather your tendencies show up late in the season, if they're going to, versus them catching on to them early on. So I think if Kellen Moore can really just slow trickle out to some of the new wrinkles that he has, then he'll put himself and his organization in a much better position, because he's very talented at play calling.
It's Isaiah Stanback here with you, DallasCowboys.com. How does Mike McCarthy spend a couple weeks talking about, we're going to Denver, we don't want to fight all afternoon, and then there was like five skirmishes? How's that happen?
Man, you can say whatever you want to as a coach. I believe that he said if a guy throws a punch today, he's going to get ejected out of practice. The reality of the matter is, you know, the last time I was here, I think it was back in 2008, we had a big brawl, and Flozell Adams was right smack dab in the middle of it, and you have two highly competitive – I mean, you have professional athletes. These are the best guys in the world. They've been beating each other up day in and day out for weeks on end. You're tired of seeing the same guys. You're tired of seeing the same looks. You're hungry. Your body hurts. It's hot outside. You're irritated. You know, you haven't seen much of your family. And all of a sudden, here comes a team coming into your home, and they think that they're just going to embarrass you. There's going to be some fights. And that's just kind of how it goes. It's all in good measure. Nobody's really trying to beat anybody up. But it's more so, you know, it's a pride. It's a battle of different of prides when you're dealing with men. And it's going to happen. And it didn't help out that Randy Gregory was over there stirring the pot. He was definitely the man in the middle today.
I say you've got the call Saturday night, right? You can do some television.
Yes,
you got your suit all ready to go?
Yes, sir. It's all ready to go.
All right. I know you're going to be dressed sharp for sure. But, okay, so – you know, you what you said earlier to me is that I had concerns about what I saw today, just from the physicality aspect. But you seem to feel in a different way about that. Should we not be knee-jerking about this, what we saw today, or is it just something that, you know, let's see what happens in the game on Saturday night?
It's definitely something to raise your eyebrow up to. And reason being, because the main issue, you can't do anything in this league without having your guys up front take care of business. And when you think about the Dallas Cowboys and you think about their competition in the NFC East, what has every team in the NFC East done with their defensive line this offseason?
Added guys, yeah.
They've added guys.
Yeah.
They've beefed it up. I'm not even going to bring up the Philadelphia Eagles and what the Dallas Cowboys have to deal with those two guys in the middle. But you start thinking about every team that you're going to face, especially in these first five or six games that Dallas has, they all have dudes in the middle of their defensive line. So if you can't combat those dudes with personnel, then you start running into problems. And that's in the passing game. That's in the running game. You know, I've said it before, and I'll stand by it still. You know, Dak Prescott is as great of a quarterback as he is and continuing to develop to be. He's not a drop back and beat you passer. He's a play action guy. If you allow Dak Prescott to have a running game, he will destroy you. But if you force him, if you take away the running game and force him to throw the ball 40-plus times, well, history says things don't go Dallas's way. So this team needs a running game, and they have to be able to establish the physicality at the line of scrimmage. And if they don't, then it's going to be rough.
Mm. That's great stuff, Isaiah. Thank you so much for the content, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Wow. Yes, sir. There it is. A great guest, Brian. Thanks for booking him.
Yeah, he did a great job on the broadcast today with all those guys at DallasCowboys.com. And again, he'll have the we hope you listen to Brad and I, but Isaiah will have the he'll have the color commentary though tonight, on Saturday night for the game too. So
I mean, that's just strong commentary. Kellen Moore promising, but plays it too safe.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, not a great drop back, kill you in the pocket quarterback, a play action quarterback, give him a running game and he'll dominate you. That's exactly how I feel. I mean, I think everything Isaiah Stanback said, I was like, okay, sounds good, man. This guy's killing it. When we return here in the G-Bag Nation, it's time for Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team here in the nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All righty, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. There he goes. Brian brought us exiting the studio at the last minute. Yeah, if you heard, a couple of weeks ago, Chiafalo told this great story of, like, brought us dropping him off on his way home and be like, get out of here, I got to get home now. And then last week in Oxnard, there was a cheek-clenching story.
Yeah, the soy.
Yes, yes.
He's a soy boy.
He got dropped off from his Korean barbecue and had to run into the restroom for that. So I don't know. I just heard the words, bathroom emergency.
Oh, that's what he said?
Yeah,
because he was hiking, bro.
He was.
Hike. Okay.
we'll get Brian back. It's time now for Cowboys Twitter. Yeah, top tweets going viral about America's team. I guess Lucius and I are going to answer these Cowboys questions here for you. Pass things along. It is very uncomfortable. At least, you know, for him, it happened now and not 30 minutes from now when he's just getting into his car.
It looked like a base hit. He was taking off, bro.
He was getting down that baseline. He was, man.
Oh, my God.
You ever get in the car, though, and you're like, I should really just go back into work. And
he starts grabbing you all of a sudden. You're like, you know what?
I can make it.
I probably won't make it that 25 minutes.
Yeah. I usually go for it and regret
me
it about
too.
3 miles
me too.
Down the
me
road.
Me too. I'm real aggressive when I get to the house. Like, excuse me.
Yeah. Dude, I am. I came home a couple of months ago and, I for whatever reason, I didn't have my house key on my Ring and I'm hitting that door. And they're like, geez, relax. What's going on? I thought there was a robber back here. I'm like, listen. I got to take
coming down your forehead.
It was bad. Okay. One of the most disappointing stories here as we kick off Cowboys Twitter. Was the Broncos not allowing the DFW media to post any video. So that was a little bit disappointing. But DallasCowboys.com was streaming, so you can find some of the stuff on there. And, we're getting highlights and stuff, and the fans were pulling stuff. So we did get a good enough look at what happened. But it was the details of the reporters who were on the scene and their collective disappointment with how things played out. We do have some positive things here. But I guess the best thing was what John Owning tweeted. If you want to, like, spin this in some kind of way, What do you think, Lucius? Is this a good excuse or sour grapes after they got whooped by Denver? John Owning tweets, breaking, team that consistently practices in elevation had a better practice in elevation than the team that doesn't practice in elevation, more at 11. That sounds like excuses a little bit to me.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You know, it's like a four-second play.
And it's always been elevation up there. We're used to this. This is what it is. Yeah, we can't make that an excuse anymore.
Teams go to Denver and win.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Patrick Walker, voice of the star, his main takeaway, Micah Parsons stole the day. He had a fulfillion would-be sacks. I made up a word to describe the activity in the backfield there. Nobody could even slow him, and he was surgical in all caps. So
50-11.
50-11?
Yeah, 50-11.
50-11. Is that Fafilian?
It means a whole bunch.
Okay, yes.
54-11.
Micah Parsons broke out last year as a rookie. I feel like, you know, already he's like 20% better. Says the game is slowing down, and, you know, I think we're starting to see evidence of it. There's not too many great tackles in the NFL, and I think that's what it's going to take, an absolute great tackle to stop him from getting where he needs to be. I mean, he is so good that I think you can make adjustments and be like, man, I thought we had another guy coming over to help him. What the hell's going on over there? Mike is living in our backfield. And the DC's like, sorry, coach. Them boys won't block him. You know, I think that's the kind of situation where he's that good. It doesn't matter how much the other team game plans. He's still going to have success. David Moore in the morning news. Noah Brown lined up with CeeDee Lamb as the starting wide receiver as the Cowboys offense works against the Denver starting defense. So another reason to believe that Noah Brown is going to get every opportunity in the world as Brian Broaddus sits back down with us here in the G-Bag Nation in the studio. Looking a little bit less hurried, sir. Welcome back.
I hope you washed your hands.
I did.
Yes, of course.
I did.
Very polite.
You know, it's so weird. Like, the break was going on, and I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, it just... You ever had it just hit you?
Yeah, it just fell to the bottom.
It literally did.
It hit a curve and said, boom.
I was listening to you guys while I was in there. And you're right. I'm glad I wasn't on the road.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, because it'd been a pullover situation. But it's hard to find, like, clean bathrooms.
Yeah,
unless you go to Buc-ee's or something
quick
like
that. Quick Trip, something like
quick
that.
Quick Trip, a hotel.
Nasty ever, Quick Trip bathroom. Yeah. And I'm, oh, my God.
Yeah, if you ever have to pull over at a hotel and just go in the lobby, they have bathrooms in the, you know, the lobby and stuff. That works out pretty. They keep bathrooms in the hotel. Yeah, that was strange. I was literally sitting here, and then all of a sudden it just... Yeah.
Usually, it comes on you a little slower, right? You get a warning. Like, I
was sitting there thinking, how many more commercials we got? And then I was thinking, man, if I have to go through this whole segment, it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So I'm sorry about that.
I thought you got a phone call and somebody was at the front door because your ass took off.
No. I asked. Well, I thought it was one more commercial, and I'm like going, man, I can't make this. I just can't make this. So, yeah. But thanks. Sorry about that.
Well, we got through it, and you sat down just in time.
And you got
Patrick Walker. What did Patrick Walker say? Did he somehow?
Micah Parsons stole the day.
Yeah, I believe that. You know, but they didn't show the defensive side of the field as much as I wish they would have.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of hopeful that we would see more of that against the Bronco offense.
You could see like three of the offensive linemen and the quarterback the ball went.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But, you know, the ones you needed to see were, you know, that it was a little bit of a struggle.
What do you think about Noah Brown lining up with the starters?
I don't have a problem with that. Noah Brown has earned the opportunity to go out there and be with the starters.
Do you think he still starts when Michael Gallup comes back?
I don't think so. I don't, because I you know, now I shouldn't
say. Colbert, Lamb, Gallup?
Yeah, I think so. To me, this is, Noah Brown has deserves to be more than just a special teams guy the way he's practiced.
Yeah. You know,
he's a personal protector on the punt team and things like that. He's going to be your blocker on the punt return, things like that. But he deserves, the way he's practiced every single day at camp, he deserves the opportunity to go out there until proven otherwise. And he, you know, Isaiah said it pretty well. You know, he's, and you asked him the question, he has leaned up. He's a slimmer guy. He's not as a thick a guy as he once was. He's a big guy. He's a tall guy. But he looks good. His in and out of breaks, stuff like that. He's catching the football. Yeah, he deserves the opportunity to at least to mine the store until Gallup gets back.
Okay, it's Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral. It was one of the highest volume days in the history of this segment, Cowboys Twitter, and it was really great all day long to just keep refreshing it and hear what was said after the practice or what people recognized. A lot of people talking about the offensive line getting work today, Brian. I just hope that when Tyron and Tyler are out there, and they can be out there a lot, like 95% of the snaps, and that changes the physical dynamics. It could, couldn't it? I mean,
it could. It could absolutely. When you start to talk about, you know, game planning and things like that, I just feel like, though, that, you know, the pass protection stuff, that's, you know, I think that will come along. The stuff with the run blocking, though, that's just about, okay, line up. You're calling a pretty simple running play. Nothing too dramatic. They ran a crack toss today. They got stuffed. But they you know, the plays that they ran, it's really a lot of man-on-man blocking. And you just didn't see them coming off the ball, getting in the blocks, and getting any kind of movement.
They're out-athleted a lot.
It was they got
today's group was.
Yeah, the physicality was clearly there on the Broncos side. They were playing on your side of the line of scrimmage. And we've seen that in training camp. The Cowboys defense has been playing on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage in camp. So you're kind of hopeful. They're like, well, maybe they'll come off the ball. But this is something, this has been a point of emphasis for Mike McCarthy. I think today was a bad day for that.
All righty. Elsewhere here on Cowboys Twitter, we go to the account of Michael Gelkin, one of our friends from over there at the Morning News, tweeted a great exchange from Zeke and Bradley Chubb after the game. Outside linebacker Bradley Chubb delivered a strong thud on Ezekiel Elliott in
practice. Knocked him to the ground.
They exchanged words afterwards. Chubb told reporters, he said, "You ain't got to do that." And I said back to Zeke, "My bad, bro, but you've got to keep him up. Aggression natural. At the end of the day, it's all love." So I guess. But running backs and linebackers are always getting chippy with each other in these training camp situations. You remember Sean Lee and DeMarco Murray every other day.
No question. The ball is going to run, is going to the outside right, and Zeke Chubb comes flying from the right to the left to make the hit. And I mean, he got him pretty good. It wasn't one of those things where, you know, you just kind of, it was, you know, a good clean hit. But yeah, I mean, these backs aren't expecting to be tackled. You know, I mean, they're expecting just to be tagged off and that kind of stuff. But so yeah, Chubb got him pretty good.
I've heard conflicting reports of what we're going to do tomorrow. Is there going to be more of this tomorrow or none of this tomorrow?
You know, I need to reach out and ask what the schedule is going to be, because I kind of feel like today was going to be the heavy day, and then tomorrow might be a little bit, because you've got a game on, you know, you get a game on Saturday, and you don't want to get anybody nicked up. I mean, I need to check on Ridgeway. Was there any report on Ridgeway? Okay, you're going to get how he got dinged.
I did not see how he got dinged. Okay. I just saw that he was.
But did they say what happened to him? Did they say that nobody
said? I have
not
seen.
Okay, need to figure that out. But yeah, I don't think you want to get anybody kind of dinged up before you play this game. So today, I think, was the heavy lifting. We'll see what tomorrow brings for these two teams.
Yeah, it was Ian Bunting that had neck soreness after a hit during punt return, and then John Ridgeway came off the field, appeared to be a right leg injury of some kind. He was under his own power. Possibly
he hurt his forehead getting hyped for the game, hit a locker or something. He strikes me as that type of guy.
He is that guy, dude. He is that guy. He got a screw loose. Yeah. David Moore with a quote from Neville Gallimore on practicing in altitude against the Broncos. I thought I was tripping. Is it just me? I'm looking around, and the check engine light came on. I was like, hold on. I guess that's why they call it Mile High.
They do. And there were a lot of guys that were kneeling behind the play, you know, behind the huddle and getting water. And that's for real. You know, that altitude stuff's for real. So we'll see how the, you know, some guys are going to play a lot of snaps on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That'll be for real, too.
I also feel like it's for real that the conditioning for endurance is not there at all with football players. Like, they might as well be baseball players, a lot of them. Yeah, they're not in good enough shape. You got to hit the bike. You got to be committed to this. Well, man,
those receivers.
You play for 8 seconds, and then the twos come on.
Yeah, the receivers, those receivers and defensive backs run a ton.
Okay, you receivers know, I mean, and defensive
yeah,
backs,
those
yes.
Guys, those guys, yeah, yeah, those guys. Everybody else is kind of like, I see where you're going. Yeah. But yeah, those
Get in the pool.
I remember Jason, Jason Garrett and like those DBs, they'd have those practices, 2-hour practices, and afterwards he'd be doing the Vince Lombardi, the sprint drills and stuff like that. And you're like, bro, why are you running the defensive backs and the wide receivers? They've done nothing but run for the last 2 hours.
They got to be able to run all day.
That's what he would say. That's the job description.
Okay, and then you have soft tissue injuries, and you wonder why. You wonder why.
Okay, Broadus.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
Well, you got big, heavy guys that I don't think are in much better cardio than, like, these pitchers out here in Major League Baseball. You got to be able to – go to Denver. If you go to Denver and you're like, crap, then the next time you're getting ready to go there, you're like, guys, 3 or 4 weeks before, we're doing extra bike ride. We're hitting the Ventura bike path here along the beach, and we're going to crank this up until we can fly into anywhere. Mexico City, Denver, it doesn't matter. We're going to elevation. We're fine-tuned professional athletes. We're not going to have our coaches wondering about our commitment level.
Yeah. I was more worried about the physicality than I was the commitment level. Maybe they weren't committed to being physical today. I know that. Hey, real quick, before we get out of here, can I do my Preston Williams report so I get that gentleman or lady off my back? NFL body, big possession receiver, talent, doesn't have good injury history, has been very unstable person. Worth the workout to see medical and where he is in life. And then I had another one that, where's my other guy here? Perimeter player, good athlete, some off-the-field stuff in the past, talented, but been super injured throughout his career.
Yeah, so injured and off-field, I don't know if it's worth it.
But I know we had somebody ask, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Elsewhere in Cowboys Twitter, J'Ron Kearse considered close to practicing, said Michael Gelkin. The team held him out today. More first-team reps for undrafted rookie Marquise Bell, who seems like a roster lock, writes Gelkin.
He is. I tell you what, that is a good-looking player. Stood next to him, didn't realize he was that big, that long. This guy, he could play that role where they ask him to play down as a linebacker or could play back. I'm interested to see with his size if he's able to turn and play deep, much like with you have some of these other guys like with Hooker and guys like that. They can turn and run and cover ground that way.
Troy Rank, a Denver Broncos reporter. Peyton Manning, by the way, is at practice again. Cowboys chants were loud for a bit during warmups. Then Russell Wilson ran out of the field. The Broncos noise took over. But great environment today. That's one of the things you could really pick up from the stream at DallasCowboys.com is how much energy was at that practice field. It was really cool to watch. A lot of people fired up. That'll do it. That'll do it for some Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral. There's literally dozens more that we could get to, observations and news items from today's practice. It's a bit of an overreaction thirsty Thursday. We've enjoyed it. Let's get the thoughts from Reggie and KG, the Get Ride, coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. All right, and thanks to everybody for making us part of your day. Coming up at 7 o'clock, it's the Get Right. Reggie and KG, they'll have sports broadcasting for 4 hours. And I think you're really going to love it. They are on whenever the Rangers are not here on the evening times on 105 through the Fan. So let's chat it up. Gentlemen, how we doing?
General, what's up, man? How are you?
He's in the
doing good. Yeah. A shorter show today with the Rangers today. So wishing we had more hours. But tomorrow we'll be back for a more full show. And we're happy to have you guys on tonight. What did you think about today's practice and how you feel about this team? Was it impacted at all in any way?
I think for me, I was a little concerned. I think one of the main topics this offseason has been the mental and physical mentality being increased on this team. And you had a chance against a really good defensive front in Denver to kind of maybe prove some of that. And I came very underwhelmed today by the offensive line play. And again, I know... it's an altitude, it's an elevation, you're flying in, you're trying to get yourself, together there. But I just did not feel very good about what I saw at left guard and at center today. And I guess Terrence Steele brought the physicality because he was out here fighting all day long. But I guess that's a different brand of physicality, I guess, that I don't think we were trying to go for today. But very underwhelmed is the word I would use for the offensive line.
Denver started the disappointment last year, and today was a big reminder for me of exactly how frustrating those final 9 or 10 weeks were, Reggie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in that stretch. I've been rewatching the 2021 season just to kind of get myself refreshed some of the things that happened. And I'm in the dead of that feeling. Like, I just, and we'll talk about it today at, what, 9 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
I watched week 14 and week 15, doubling up to try and get done before the season starts. But, of course, I double up to watch the Washington then football team and the New York Giants, which I imagine, which I'm sure you imagine, it was a delight. But no, those are not great teams, and I felt the apathy re-arise in me as I'm watching it, where I'm just like, yo, y'all should be knocking these dudes off their blocks, and it just didn't feel like that. And so I can see how today's practice kind of brought you back to that feeling.
You know, it's just a little bit of that carryover from what you saw at training camp in Oxnard, that the, and I said it earlier, the Cowboys defensive line, the front seven, Isaiah Stambeck even said it, you know, the front seven and the way they play, the, how they've looked, they were playing on the Cowboys' offensive side of the ball. And then you saw the Broncos do the same thing. So those are the types of things that, and I hope they go back and watch the tape, and I hope Saturday night that we see a little bit more of a sense of urgency from them coming off the football. I understand pass protection. It could be tough. You get guys jumping the counts and stuff like that. I get it. But run blocking is about, it's about, you know, the combinations. It's about man and man, you know, man, you know, hip to hip, getting push, getting the right guy. You know, you're not showing a lot. It's a pretty vanilla type of a thing. But when you're getting beat at that level, when you're getting beat and you're not getting any movement, those are the things that bother me. Because at that point, you're just saying, hey, who's the more physical team? Who are the guys that are more willing to stick their face in there and get some push? And they didn't have a lot of space to run at today.
I hope it's a mental thing and not just that they lack the quickness and strength. You know, you could have the mentality like, we're going to be quick, guys.
Yeah.
But the other guy's just quicker and stronger than you, and there's not much your mentality can do at that point, Brian.
I kind of feel like they're going to be weak in a couple of spots. I think they're going to be weak at right tackle. I think they're going to be weak at center.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens at left guard if they play Tyler Smith. You know, maybe things will be better once we get to the you know, get through training camp. But I just, the carryover, that's the thing that bothered me. I was just so hopeful that, okay, they're going to go block. Let's see if they go block Denver. Because I kind of felt like the Dallas's front seven in camp was actually pretty good. I felt like, I'm like, man, all right, this guy, they got a shot here. They got a shot here with this. You know, they could play the run. They could get after the passer. But man, they just did, you know, they just didn't get anything done today.
Is Tyler Smith at least winning his matchups?
I think Tyler Smith is. I think today was a bad day for Tyler Smith because he reverted back to some of the things that happened to him at Tulsa, and that's when you get tired, you get hot, your technique gets bad,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden hands get outside the body, head goes, or hands get outside the framework of the defender's body. Head goes down, you're off balance and things like that. I think he was in survival mode today. I think, you know, it, all of a sudden you're a little tired and you're like, oh, you know, I'm a little hot and I can't breathe really all that well. I think you could say that about a lot of guys that played today on that Cowboys offensive line. Heck, I saw
and the defensive line too.
I saw Zach Martin back there huffing and puffing pretty good, you know, behind the play. So yeah, but with Tyler Smith, it's going to be about technique with him. And I think his technique has gotten better from what I saw at Tulsa.
Okay.
Just not today.
What do you think about what a standback said, that Dak's more of a play-action quarterback than a drop-back pocket quarterback?
I mean, that's what I've seen in rewatching these games, not to, you know, belabor the 2021 point, but when they utilize the play-action and you can kind of change defense, you know, manipulate the defense, he can make those throws. I actually am planning on asking KG a question, just because it seems like when he is in that, sitting in the pocket, going through his progressions, he's not bad at going through those progressions. It feels like he often, though, opts for, I guess, what some people would call like the safest option. And like, and I wonder how much listeners, Cowboys fans out there would want him to take a little bit more of those risks, because we know technically he can do all of those things. We've seen him make all of those throws, but it seems like the willingness to step up and attempt those, maybe for the sake of, you know, not harming the team through a mistake, or maybe for the sake of trying to keep, you know, prove that I can get all the statistics right so that people understand that I can do this job. But I wonder how much people would want him to take some more of those chances and attack in those ways, and maybe that would be the difference between when he's a play action passer and able to, you know, boot and get opportunities where you've got, you know, the defense moving side to side, comparing to just in that pocket and attacking a defense surgically.
I mean, play action works. It works even if you can't run the ball well. You know, those defenders have to respect that a little bit.
Yeah, he did a good job of avoiding some rush today, moving around, finding the open guys and stuff. So I was encouraged by the way Dak was moving around and trying to at least make some plays when things weren't exactly perfect in the pocket for him.
Some positives: Dak, CeeDee, Micah Parsons. What else is coming up on the show today, guys?
A cavalcade of stars, if you will. Nui Scruggs at 7:20. Vach Lombardi, NFL analyst from the Volume, and budding television star David Hellman is going to join us today at 9:20. You know, he's just out here hobnobbing in L.A., you know, all the shows. And
what is that? He's doing what?
Hobnobbing.
What is that?
You know, just
rubbing elbows. Yeah,
that's what they do in Hollywood or something?
Yeah. Yeah, we hear all the stars and whatnot. Oh, okay. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Very eclectic crowd.
It do sound like something that you would
That does sound like something
it?
You would pay for.
Yeah. Here they
Fox
come.
Is paying them for it now.
Reggie and KG, the Get Right. Thanks to Lucius and Broadus and Carter Freeman. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Eddies.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.